I'll be honest, it was the first time someone had given me hope. The first person that was positive and said, hey, I know you're suffering, because everybody else is kind of like, it's no big deal. Get used to it. You're overreacting, right? And I'm like, no, something's really wrong here. So that's kind of how it started. And then Dr. Tracy and I worked together weekly. She's absolutely amazing. Saved my life.
Hey there. Welcome to the Tinnitus Relief Podcast. I'm Dr. Ben Thompson, your host and friend on this journey to finding relief from tinnitus. If you've been around the block, seen doctors, and heard that all too common phrase, there's not much you can do, then you're in the right place. Here at the tinnitus telehealth company that I started, Treble Health, we challenge that notion every day. My team and I, experts in tinnitus treatment, believe there's always a way to improve your situation. Need help? Why not start with our free tinnitus quiz? It's something I've put together with the best minds in the field. And honestly, I think it's a game changer for anyone with tinnitus. Give it a go at tinnitusquiz.com. Who knows? You might just decide Treble Health is the team you want to work with. Let's get into today's episode and find some relief together.
It's a really dynamic process of changing, and you guys helped me through that. But I didn't sit in silence. If it ramped up, I tried not to panic, tried to distract myself, turn on a new sound or do something different.
Give us a summary of where you are today and where you were when you needed help from our team.
Yeah. Hello, everyone. So I am at a 2 out of 10 now. I started at a 9 out of 10. I'm 7 months, about 6.5 to 7 months into tinnitus retraining therapy with the maskers.
Dr. Tracy Peck Holcomb, audiologist with Treble Health. Tracy's going to comment here about her perspective of working with Melinda, working one-on-one over multiple sessions, seeing her progress over time. So I want to let you two guide the rest of this conversation here for the next 5 minutes. How did you improve, Melinda? And what kind of tools did you use along the way?
Yeah, I agree with others that I did a little bit of random Google searching, and that was a very bad idea because I only heard negative stories and I even got more afraid. And the part I left out is I was required to go on a work trip. I got to the airport and I was in the gate, had an absolute panic attack. I was having rolling panic attacks. I forgot to mention that. I could not get on the plane. So then it got even worse. And I looked up, found Treble Health finally, made a phone call, and I thought, I don't think this is real. And then, but within, someone answered right away, and I got in with Tracy, I think that afternoon. She had an extra 15 minutes and it turned right then. I'll be honest. It was the first time someone had given me hope. The first person that was positive and said, hey, I know you're suffering, because everybody else is kind of like, it's no big deal. Get used to it. You're overreacting, right? And I'm like, no, something's really wrong here. So that's kind of how it started. And then Dr. Tracy and I worked together weekly. She's absolutely amazing, saved my life, and just corrected me in a professional way on to change the way I was thinking about the situation. So I can let Dr. Tracy speak now, but I can't tell you, I wish I would have found it earlier, because 2 months of this was too long. 2 months untreated was way too long.
Hi, Melinda.
Hi.
sorry for jumping in late. I was finishing actually with a patient. So yeah, I mean, I think when we first started, it was that initial session was really about just, which I say a lot of times in those initial sessions, just like, if you're leaving with anything from this call today, it's, I want you to leave with there are things you can do. There is hope. This can get better, you know? And I think just even planting that seed when patients have been told by many other professionals, there's nothing you can do. You just have to learn to live with it. You know, all of that narrative, which is super dismissive and not helpful when someone is in that state, right? That elevated state of just like complete overwhelm with it. And then from there, yeah, we saw each other weekly, and it was just building. It was building upon each week, you know, little bits at a time. And we fit her with her ear level devices, got that going. And Melinda, what was your experience with that initial sort of getting those on and starting to use those and stuff, especially compared to, because you had tried other devices before, and kind of what the differences were maybe with that, if you want to speak to that a little bit?
Yeah, there's a unique part of my story because I had found maskers online, but I went into an audiologist and I kind of begged him to order these for me. And he had never used them before for that, just a local audiologist. And so I had only one right ear device, and it was white noise, which now, cause it didn't work for me. Some people, maybe it does, but it was not working for me. And so when I started working with Dr. Tracy, I got both ears. And so people know my story. My left ear stopped. Like, I hope that happens to everybody, but my left ear stopped. And then my right ear stayed really intense, but it would move around my brain, especially in the first few weeks. And then that stopped happening. It's actually not even in my ear anymore. It's somewhere in my brain, which is, I can't think about it too much. I'll get a little disturbed or caught up with it. So really unique. But I felt like, nothing against the audiologist, but Tracy's an expert in this. And I trusted her. And I felt like I'm going to follow what she says. So I wore them, tried to wear them 24 hours a day. And we can get into the mornings. And so there's certain things I struggled with that she helped me with, but I was very diligent. I had a different sound during the day than at night. We had to tweak it to pink noise and you were able to adjust it. And then I stopped being so hypersensitive to it. But the first one I had didn't work at all. And it just, the person didn't know how to help me. And it was kind of frustrating because I spent $3,000 on just the one device. So,
and I think that the reason I wanted to have you just talk about that a little bit is because I think, again, this term sound therapy is thrown around a lot and, you know, just throwing on a random sound for one person, it really is customized. It really is individualized to each person, what the sort of context is around their tinnitus. And even if you only perceive tinnitus in one ear, really, we still, the best practices would be to wear two, because the auditory system is a binaural system. So we know that there's multiple pathways that are involved. We know that if we're stimulating both sides, that maximizes that benefit in the auditory part of the brain to stimulate across the entire part of the system. And then tweaking the protocol and the types of sounds and the volume. Like, we made several adjustments over several months as her tinnitus started to change and get better and get lower. And as the months go on, you have to sort of adjust to the changes, right? And as things are improving. And so that piece, I think, isn't as well understood. So I that's a really important piece. And how many times did we connect and be like, all right, I think I can drop it down a little bit more, or the sound has changed. Like, what does that mean? And changing up the sound itself that you use and adding additional sounds. Like, it's an ongoing adaptive process for sound therapy, right?
Yeah. And it was so fun because, I don't want to say fun. The first part was really grueling. I mean, this is a gritty process. I'm not going to tell you it's not gritty. It's gritty. You gotta dig deep. But so whenever we would lower it, it was like, you know, that's a marathon, not a sprint, but it was like you passed mile two. Right. And then we get so excited. And then I told Dr. Ben the other day, I didn't even know if I had the app on my phone anymore. Like, your brain is just, brain is amazing. Right. So, but yeah, we lowered it three times. I'm on the lowest level again now. Yeah. At first though, you were very patient with me because I moved the pink noise around a lot, and then we finally got to a spot. But so thank you for that. But it was a very quick adjustment.
Yeah. And so I think once we sort of got into that, once you got into the routine and you're super consistent, which is the other big key factor, and using the sound therapy, you know, every day, nighttime sound therapy and things like that, then I think we moved on to a lot more of the cognitive behavioral therapy focused kind of techniques and how to deal with the day-to-day, you know, stress and anxiety of it. And do you want to talk a little bit about that and maybe what strategies helped you and what worked as far as that area? That's equally important, I think, to the sound therapy itself.
Yeah, it is. And I'll admit, I'm very, very type A. I'm very and so I was probably a tough patient, but I had it set in my head that it was incurable. Well, guess what? There's lots of things in our life that are incurable, but we live great lives, mental health, eyesight, all kinds of addiction, right? We live great lives, even if, you know, you helped me with the ultimatums I was giving myself and the timeframes I was holding myself to. In the mornings when I woke up, I would get very, because sometimes my maskers would run out of battery, right? So I would get very depressed. The first few months in the morning, I'd wake up and I'd be like, I can't do this another day. I possibly can't. So you helped me say, hey, it's okay. Get some, either charge them a different time or get a different sound therapy going. And I got up and right to the gym, and that was okay to say, hey, I'm not going to listen to this right now. I'm going to do something else, because I had to give myself permission that I didn't need to check in on it, but I was hyper checking in and where was it at in my brain. And so I really had to back off, and I was absolutely dead set on, I was going to get back to silence, and that's not reality. You do have silence because you're not thinking about it. It's how we think about the terminology. How I thought about the terminology was really big. And then just the flying for work. You told me it's going to be fine. It's probably worse anticipatory. It was totally fine to fly. It was actually better, but I had to trust you and I had to believe you, because I wasn't going to have another panic attack at the airport.
Yeah.
And I didn't. I've flown five or six times since then. No issue.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think, but we worked, it was like, that was a goal, right? So it's constantly the needle, the goal line is always moving. So as patients are progressing through these stages of habituation, the not only does the tinnitus change, but also what changes is the goals that you're setting, right? So like each, as we were working together over the course of those months, it was like, okay, you know, this has definitely improved and I'm still struggling with this, or I definitely feel like this has gotten better, but I have this work trip coming up and here are my concerns about that. And working through those, using some of the CBT tools, really working on neutral, you know, neutral thinking, neutral frame of thought. You mentioned kind of the mornings being a challenging time. And so, you know, coming up with strategies around that, right? Not just sitting in bed ruminating about it, like let's get up and do something and engage in an activity that's positive and helpful, honestly, for stress reduction too. And so just it's constantly kind of adapting and like working together. It really is a collaborative process. I think it's a lot of back and forth. And certainly as a provider, we're giving a lot of guidance and coaching and support. But honestly, Melinda did the bulk of the work, like as all patients do. And because she was consistent with that and really like with her type A personality put in all the time and was super consistent with it. Like she's getting those results and it wasn't overnight. It's taken probably longer than she wanted to, but has made significant, incredible progress. So I'm super happy to have her sharing her story tonight.
And Melinda, talk to us about your daily habits when you were possibly, you still are in this mindset of, all right, today's a new day. I need to do things. I need to set up certain things to help me with my tinnitus treatment. So what were your daily habits that made the difference here for you?
Yeah. And I forgot to mention, I have the Sound Oasis machine because it doesn't mess with Bluetooth, right? Or your connectivity in your home. It's just on all the time. My remote office here, I work from home. Sound Oasis machine is amazing. Dr. Tracy I have two sleep bands, one with earbuds, which is way too loud now. So, but that's okay. It's too intense. And then one, just the band that I think's on the picture. I have those at night. So I did end up getting those. I also had the sleep pillow with the speakers. So once again, I go a little overboard, but I didn't sit in silence. And I would watch a lot of success stories if I was getting down. And then Dr. Ramsey one time had said, I was in a conference and I had to get out and leave the room. And she had said on something on a call that to listen to a thunderstorm for a little bit, something just to like, you know, kind of shake it up. But I choose, like people would say, oh, I listen to ocean sounds. Well, I don't like the ocean. I live in Minnesota. I just don't like listening to the ocean. So I had to customize it for me. So I do crickets at night. And during the day, I listen to forest noises or birds, because that's what I would hear naturally outside once I got through like the really intense phase. And so it's a really dynamic process of changing. And you guys helped me through that. But the consistent was I didn't sit in silence. If it ramped up, I tried not to panic, try to distract myself, turn on a new sound or do something different. I'll admit I didn't always follow the protocol that the sound is less than the tinnitus, because maybe for like 10, 20 minutes, I would set it a little higher. And that worked for me. And then I would back it down because I just needed a relief in the moment to get my nervous system to calm down. Probably not ideal, but I did change that a little bit.
I think that that's totally okay to do too. Yes, you're fine. Yes, it worked. Yeah. There are some times where you just, you know, you need to kind of reset and kind of shift what's going on in the nervous system and kind of help yourself regulate. And so if that's what it does, that's helpful by turning it up a little bit. That's okay. Right. We talked about that. That's not the general sound therapy implementation. And you knew that. And so it was like, you also knew, okay, I also need to kind of do this right now for a little bit to just kind of reset. The other thing, Ben, that we did a lot, I think Melinda did a lot, was we celebrated the wins. So whether they seem small or big or anything in between, it's shifting the narrative. It's shifting the focus to like, wow, today I had, you know, a half a day where I didn't even hear my tinnitus. Like that's huge, right? Compared to, and so always constantly trying to point out those victories, those going on that first flight, that's huge. That's a huge win. And focusing on those things really helps to promote the entire habituation process. So yeah, I think you're still doing some of the like stress reduction and just kind of the neutral thinking and everything, even now as well as you're doing. I think there's a lot of things that I have many patients at the end of this that say, you know, I'm going to take a lot of these strategies and techniques and tools that I've learned and continue to apply them because it's helpful with my overall health and well-being. And so there's silver linings. I know that's harder to believe in the beginning of this process, but there are a lot of things that people take away at the end that it's like, wow, I can continue to do this. And it's helpful in this way in my life, even though tinnitus isn't a factor for me anymore. So
Melinda, let's talk more about advice. So some of the common situations patients feel stuck in may have been ones that you've previously felt stuck in too. So share some of your top advice, maybe advice to your your former self when you were in a more dire situation here?
Like I said, again, it's staying away from any negativity, even be careful who you tell in your life. You, be selective about that. And so it's almost like whatever you feed, if you're going to feed the dark or the light, right? And so I tried to feed the positive with Treble all the time. And I would rewatch videos of success stories, which I mentioned. I had 5 days, I should mention, recently in Florida with in a row, almost unnoticeable tinnitus. If you would have told me that at the beginning, I said, there's no way. So I actually had to be careful not to back off too soon on the sound therapy. Customize to you. I had a note from Dr. Tracy on my computer of 10 things that would bring my nervous system down or calm me down. And it sounds funny, but I'd have to read the list out loud to myself. And I kept a journal. You're not really supposed to, but some people aren't supposed to. I kept a journal of just the wins. And I kept telling myself that this is the testimony to help others. So that there was an end game, because if there's no end game, I could see how you really could suffer. You really could suffer in this. So hopefully that's helpful. I don't use anything at night anymore for the most part. Maybe something very light, but I don't wear a sleep band or I don't wear maskers at night. If that's helpful, but there's days I cried. There's days it's really gritty. There's days I was frustrated, but just keep coming back. And I would text Dr. Tracy when I landed on my first flight and said, hey, I got here. The little wins, celebrate it. All of a sudden you'll go, whoa, it's 2 hours. I didn't hear it. It's shocking, right? But it happens. And look at the research. Like Dr. Ben interviewed Jastreboff one time. Dr. Jastreboff, that's a really good video because that's science. If you're a science person and you like black and white, you like stats, you like numbers, it's proven, right? Not proven. It's the evidence leads to a certain outcome. I'll put it that way. And just keep believing that. Keep thinking it.
We have a question here, Melinda. What did you find was the most helpful sound therapy if you were to awaken in the middle of the night? And then also, what was the best sound therapy for you during the day? If you could talk about the type of sound as well as what technology you used to listen to it from.
Yep. So a lot of times at night and when it was intense, I used crickets, which are natural to the environment here at night. So I really liked that. But I did use the maskers, just the normal sound that was piped in, streamed in from the app, because Bluetooth wouldn't mess with that. Phone calls would, you know what I mean? It was steady and consistent. So I did use that a lot in the beginning. You're finding the mixing point. And then I switched to more forest noises. But what is really cool is on some of the apps, you could put in like a pink noise and like a bird noise. You could mix them because that sometimes if you're just going to do like a bird noise or something that's inconsistent and there's no background, then you're hearing the tinnitus in between those noises and it's really frustrating. So those are really cool. Those apps where you can mix them in and be creative, have fun with it if you can. You know what I mean? Like there's a million resources out there to find a noise that you like and it customized. And it you don't have to say, well, this gentleman liked white noise. If I did white noise, I wouldn't be here right now. I wouldn't have come out of this because it drove me nuts, if that's helpful.
Very helpful. And how about dealing with stress on a daily basis? Were there any specific techniques other than listening to our success stories? And you're really passing on to future individuals here. After you listen to success stories, now you're sharing yours. I think that's great. Other than hearing positivity around tinnitus and outcomes, what kind of daily exercises were helpful for you?
Oh, I forgot to mention, I did the Dr. Ben's meditations, the 1 through 7, because it was nice to have it numbered. And when my mind was really scattered and panicky, I'm like, okay, it's number one. We're doing number one today. We're doing number two today. And I just needed a really simple thing. And so those are really, really good. Now I've kind of veered off on some other things that don't always say the word tinnitus because I don't always want to think about it. So no offense, but I've kind of ventured off into some other things, but it was really helpful at first because I just needed some type of consistency. So the meditation, but I will tell you, I didn't want to admit that it was tied to my stress level or nervous system because I was a little stubborn. But if I get in traffic now or some type of situation, it ramps up. So I just have to like take a deep breath and talk to my higher power for a second and back it off. And I don't behave all the same ways I used to because I don't want to go into that red zone and spike it up, or I should say fluctuate. I don't want the fluctuations anymore. And you learn pretty quickly. Mine's not diet related at all. I thought it was low iron. I thought it was caffeine. I tried all kinds of different things and it didn't matter to me. You know, just making myself crazy, trying to eat a restricted diet. Some people it is, but for me, it wasn't. Mine is nervous system related.
You shared that you were able to fly. Are there any other normal everyday situations that you can do now that some months ago you thought would be impossible?
I had a hard time going to church services. I had a hard time going to anywhere loud. any restaurants, any, I don't have hyperacusis, but I don't, it would kind of like tinny, like it would echo around. I don't have any of that anymore. The only time I hear it is like, if I happen to go into a room where it's silent, I hear it then, or if I'm having like a stressful moment, I can hear it kind of ramping up. But I'm doing everything that I've, like I said, I've had 5 or 6 trips. We're going to Greece for the summer. I'm not worried at all. It's an overnight flight, of course. It's the plane's fine, but bring your stuff, bring your earpiece. When I started, my purse was full of like stuff recommended by Travel Health. I had earpiece. I had my mask. I mean, I had all kinds of things just to be calm in my list. And it, like I said, the airplane's a non-issue. I can't think of anywhere I don't go now. I don't avoid doing anything.
Love to hear that. Dr. Tracy, any final words on your perspective of seeing Melinda go through this process and how it can help others going through tinnitus?
Last thing I was going to say is that towards the later stages, Melinda and I definitely talked about this, where, you know, when you start to feel better, it's really common to start to taper off and slack off of doing some of the things, like the consistent things that we know help with the stress levels, the anxiety levels, the sound itself. And so in the later stages, I feel like it's actually even more important to really double down on being consistent with those strategies, right? And it's like, oh, I know I've had a really stressful day and I can sense that my tinnitus or my tension is starting to kind of rise. It's about being really strategic, and it's about knowing and being aware of that and then quickly implementing the strategies that work, right? And so we talked, I think that's a common thing that comes up too. It's like naturally, as we're feeling better with this over time, that there's a tendency, just like with, you know, if you're doing a diet, you want to lose weight, like you lose that first, you know, 10 pounds, you're like, all right, I'm doing awesome. And then you like slowly start to eat the things again, or, you know, exercise. So in the later stages, I think just keeping in mind that it's just as important to kind of be consistent with all of the things, right? This comprehensive approach that we're talking about, it's putting together and doing those things consistently and daily. And even once you're at stage 4, to recognize when you're feeling stressed or if you're not getting great sleep, and to really sort of like immediately, right, put into place some of those things that we know help. And the beautiful thing is that you have all the tools you need, and you know exactly what to do, and you're in control of the situation now. And that's a big piece of it. So just know Melinda is like joy to work with. So happy that she's where she's at.
Yeah, you too. And I we're short on time, I'm sure, but I told Dr. Ben that when I graduated, I quote unquote graduated, yeah. I cried. And this is real. This is real work. But we're going to talk again, stay in touch. And you mentioned something I didn't say earlier. I had to give myself permission not to sit and focus on it. That was not, you know, just do something right away, take action right away with the maskers or change the noise. That's huge. That was huge for me. Thank you. And trust what Treble's doing. Trust the research. Let yourself trust the process.
I'm Ben Thompson, your host, audiologist, and the founder of Treble Health, where our mission is to bring you to the forefront of tinnitus care. I hope today's episode has empowered you with new insights and strategies for managing your tinnitus. Remember, the journey to relief starts with understanding your condition better, and our tinnitus quiz is a great first step. I created it with input from other leading tinnitus experts, and it's a resource I truly believe in for anyone dealing with tinnitus. Take the free assessment at tinnitusquiz.com to begin your path to relief. Until next time, keep working on improving your health.